This is what he said. He says he views that this hour is severe. For there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake to wait to see something, to begin to act, says the Lord. For my son is a savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. But how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? For how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, says the Lord. For I've called my children to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to all creation. So stand up and take your place in your generation, says the Lord. And be the temple that I've called you to be, and allow me to work by my Spirit. For I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, says the Lord. And my power works through those who yield to me. Let down your barriers. Let down the walls and let me in, says the Lord. For the price has been paid, and all have died, and all can be resurrected if they just put their faith in me, says the Lord. But someone must relay my truths, for it is my truth that sets them free, says the Lord. It's my truth that sets them free, says the Lord. And if you will yield to me and allow me to speak to you, I will speak through you and you will set them free. And you will bring me great glory. You will bring me great glory by completing the work that I've called you to do for me. So trust me. Trust that I am with you. Trust that I am your standby. Trust that I am there to perform my word with the signs that accompany it, says the Lord. For I will confirm my word through those who step up by faith. My word will not return void, says the Lord. My word will produce. And my word will produce in those who yield to me. For your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And every deed and every righteous act I take an orderly account, and there's great reward. Yes, says the Lord, for even a cup of cold water given in my name, there is a reward. So come to me. Come to me with an obedient heart. Shake loose the chains. Break down the barriers that stands between me and you, says the Lord. Allow me in. Allow my glory in, says the Lord. You may say, well, how do I let you in? I've let you in. I've let you in. I've let you in. Come in, Lord, I've let you in. But have I not said to be separate, says the Lord? Have I not said to the pure, I show myself pure? For you must be pure, you must be separate and holy, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you, says the Lord. I will be a father to you. Incline thine ear and listen. Open up your eye and see. Open up your eyes and see the truth. Ria makasidi kilotom bla makasiki re mosoto mapra kasidi kia. Rodo bla makasidi kilotom mapra kara kasidi kilotom mapra bakasia. Don't trust in deceptive words and say, we're safe. We're safe to do all these detestable things. Don't trust in your feelings. Trust only in my word that I've sent into the earth, says the Lord. For my word is what you will be judged by. And my word is what you will receive reward by. So receive reward. Judge yourselves and allow me in. For I am a jealous God, says the Lord. Roma kasidiki le komla bakasidiki amloko sekiele mesidiki le tiemra bakasidiki londra bakise kiamo roma kasia rodo blakre makasidiki lotuma prakra kasia rodo mabrama kasidiki le koloma parma first those who are fully yielded that please me. It's those who pick up their cross daily and fully surrender to me that please me. I am not half-hearted towards you. I've given my whole heart to you. I do not withhold my affection from you. But ask yourself if you withhold your affection from me, says the Lord. For I've given you all of my time. Will you give me yours? Rema siti kilombra maka siti kilombra maka siti kile mosa kina maka siti kile moto ma priyamaka. Run not after that which cannot satisfy, but run to me. Run to me. I will quench your thirst, says the Lord. I am the cistern of living water. All other cisterns are dry. I am the only one, if you will come to me, I'm the only one that can satisfy. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you resist and rebel, great destruction is coming upon those who resist and rebel, says the Lord. There's great persecution coming to the land. And only those who are close to me will be able to stand their ground when the day of evil comes. Who is it that will devote themselves to be close to me? If you have your Bible with you and you're fast fingered, follow along. Otherwise, you're better off just listening at this point because we've got a lot of scriptures to go through. I just want to encourage everyone to follow our website, to stick with the teachings. Let me just explain something briefly. When, you know, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep a city, the watchman waketh but in vain, in Psalm 127:1. This is God's house. This is a real New Testament church. A lot of your churches popping up and everybody's running to them. Those are not even churches at all. They're cult. They're occultic. They're of the devil. There's false teachers behind the pulpits and so on and so forth. Not all of them. Not all the big churches are bad. There's some good ones. But most of them, because we're in the last hour. So, because this is a real church, this is God's church, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through a man. That's what it is. It's no different than the early apostles. There's nothing different. It's God speaking for this hour. So If you really believe that the Holy Spirit speaks and you really believe that God is a living God, if you want religion, there's plenty of churches out there will feed you religion. We don't do that. We give you right from God's throne, the manna from heaven, what you need to hear right now in this hour. Amen. Just ask anybody who's been here for a while. The warnings that they didn't listen to, and they all come together and they'll say, yeah, everything Pastor did say was exactly what I needed to be hearing, whether I liked it or not. So because it's so important, the teachings online, it's good to stick with that. And the prophecies that go forth, it's good to pay attention. These are not just some man's words. That's God is speaking to you through these prophecies. That's God speaking. See, that's you, Pastor Dan. You don't understand prophecy if that's what you think. Prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. It has nothing to do with the will of man. Amen. It's God speaking. And it's good to go back and listen to them again, because God's speaking to you. You think, who's he speaking? God is, when the words come forth from this pulpit, the people in this room and the people online, God is speaking to you. That's who he's speaking to. And if you'll recognize that and go, wow, God is speaking to me, this is what I need to hear right now, then you will respect it and you will start to act on it, because that's what's going to lead you to success. And that's what God wants for you. But if you despise prophecies, like he talks about not doing, he says, do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt. He said, all these things must be done for the strengthening of the church, he said, when it comes to prophecies and tongues and interpretation. Hymns, word of instruction, revelation, tongue, interpretation, so on and so forth. 1 Corinthians 14:26 on through. He said they must be done for the strengthening of the church. Why? Because God is speaking a rhema word to you. So you need to recognize when you come to church, you shouldn't bring all the stress of your day. You should be prayed up, built up, and bring the supply. He talks about the supply of the Spirit in Scripture. You should bring your supply, because whatever attitude is hanging around you or is in your head, you're bringing that into the service, and you're either negatively affecting your brothers and sisters who are here, or you're positively affecting them. If you come prayed up and built up, you've been in the Word all week, you're bringing your supply of the Spirit. If you've been all fleshy all week, you're bringing a bunch of demonic forces into the church. And it's not just you that it's affecting everyone else in the room. It is demonic. The devil will use you. If you're so fleshy, he'll use you to destroy the presence and the servants. He'll use you. You're his precious vessel. He loves you. That's not what we want to be, right? We want to be the one that brings the supply of the Spirit that affects all. Because the reason Satan loves it so much is because you're affecting the whole body. This is a local body. This specific locality in Milwaukee County, this is where God has planted you. He wants you to stay here. A lot of people try to jump around, but all they do is they keep uprooting their seed. And then they usually run to somewhere where the guy tells them what they want to hear. Like he said, they tell them what their itching ears want to hear, which is what? No correction. Tell me I'm okay. Just tell me Jesus loves me all the time. Jesus loves those who obey him, the Bible says. Amen. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. He said, my Father himself will love him. We'll show ourselves to him. Who? The one who obeys him. Not anybody, just the one who obeys him. God's very selective in who his children are. And the reason is because God can have no fellowship with sin. He can't do it. Bible says this is a message we heard from him and proclaim to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship, that's a relationship, intimate relationship. If we claim to have fellowship with him, Jesus, if we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's living a holy life. If we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. So the blood of Jesus purifies the one who's turned from their sin. The one who's still dabbling around with it. They're in and out all the time. That's not where we want to be. We want to be all the way into Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to hear what God is speaking. He's speaking things to you. This isn't the church, the other churches over there, this isn't their message. This isn't for them. They don't go to this church. They go to some other church. This is what God's speaking to us. It's a special thing. And you should treat it as esteem it as a high thing. It's a special thing because you've been yielded enough to him, that he's able to get you in a place where he can speak directly to you as an individual. It's an incredible thing to have that. It's an honor to be able to go to a church where God speaks a living word, a real word, not some religious mumbo jumbo, not something that some guy listened to some other guy's message and memorized it, but you come up in here and God's speaking to you as an individual, telling you, you say, that's not what I need. Well, sometimes it's exactly what you need for to relate to another person. If you're already living it and there's all correction, you're thinking, what is this? It's because God's going to bring someone in your path that you need to bring that message to. So we need to recognize when we come, we need to draw on the anointing. And when you come into the services, you should expect to receive from God what you need to hear. You should say, God, speak to me today. And then write down what he says and go back in the messages and say, that's what God said that to me today by the Holy Spirit. That's how he did. That's how he does it. So we want to pay attention. He says we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so we do not drift away. He said if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? He said this salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, that's Jesus. He said it was first announced by the Lord, was also confirmed to us by those who heard him. Everyone who heard him. And God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Spirit distributed according to his will. The prophecy spoken here, that is confirmation that God is alive and Jesus is raised from the dead. That is confirmation that God is real to you. Amen. You may say, well, how do I know you're not just doing that? Your heart's so hard. How can you not recognize the Spirit of God in truth when it's spoken? You should be able to see that. Amen. Unless you're living in sin, you can't see it. Distorts your spiritual perception. So let's turn on over to Matthew chapter 10. That's an exhortation from the Holy Spirit. He wants us to hear that. We need to start to honor the prophecies and honor what God is speaking to us. And don't take it lightly. If you will recognize what's really happening here, when you get to heaven, you'll recognize it all, but you don't have to wait to get there to learn what it is. You can recognize it right now and realize that it really is God just speaking through a vessel. There's a vessel of clay that stands before you that God speaks through. When you've got someone surrendered to him that spends all their time in his word and his presence, then he has someone he could speak through. When you have someone's got one foot in the world and is not willing to completely surrender, then you've got a little bit of the world mixed in with it, and we don't want that. You know, when God called me to ministry, I fought God for quite some time, even though I already knew his word. I studied God's word long before I ever, if somebody would have told me, someday you're going to be preaching, I would have said, you're a liar. I will never preach for Jesus. That's what I would have told them. Do you know what I've done? But at the same time, I spent much time in his word because of a spiritual hunger that only God could satisfy and meditate his word. Thousands and thousands, over 10,000 hours I've spent reading the word of God. And probably double that amount in prayer. Spent all my time with God. And when he called me, and even after all of this, he called me to ministry, and I knew it, but I didn't want to do it because I knew the judgment that I will have to stand before God. I knew the high calling to be called to preach, and that every word that I speak will come back to me. If I were to say anything that was not by the Holy Spirit, anything that was of the flesh, that it would come back to me. You see, you need to understand, us preachers have a much more strict judgment, it says in James chapter 3. I fear for most people behind pulpits today. They have no idea the horrible, horrible judgment that's coming at them. Because they don't respect God's word. They're speaking their own messages, and they honestly believe that they're preaching for Jesus. Jesus said, woe. Woe to them. He had such strong words to speak against the blind leading the blind. He said, you've taken away the key of knowledge. He said, you yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. He said, blackest darkness is reserved for them, Peter said. Jesus said, such men, hypocrites, he said, such men will be punished most severely. So I knew all this, and when God called me to ministry, I said, I just hesitated. I knew it, and I hesitated. And finally, God gave me an eternal revelation, a revelation of what eternity would be if I did not fulfill the call of God on my life. And I recognized it, and I seen it, and it put the fear of God in me, and I said some words, and that day I went home, and within a couple weeks, a few major changes took place, and I finally said, you know what, God, I'm going to put my 2 weeks in. And my boss said, why do you want to do that? I said, God's called me to ministry. I took a couple weeks off of work. I said, I need a couple weeks off of work. I need to pray. I need to make sure I'm hearing clearly for God. And then I put my 2 weeks in. My boss said, you're one of the best we have. He said, whatever you do, if you must go, whatever you do, just do it with all your heart. And no matter what you do, don't ever look back, they told me. He says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. We should pray before we get into this. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We honor and respect your word, Lord. We recognize this is the very words of the creator of the universe, the holy God, the mighty God. And Lord, we humble ourselves and ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us today, Holy Spirit. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. Help us to recognize these truths. We worship you. I just ask you, Lord, to help me. I'm a yielded vessel to you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. He says this, Matthew 10:38. He says, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So Jesus wants us to fear God, not man. Going over to Matthew 14, verse 5. He wants us to pick up our... He wants a surrender, is what he's looking for. A full surrender. Most people are partial surrender. They got selective hearing. God wants someone whose ears are open to all of his truth and act on all of his truth. Matthew 14. I want you to see this in verse 5. Now this is after Herod had killed John the Baptist. It says this. This is right before he killed him. In verse 5, Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people. Afraid of the people. I wouldn't say afraid of the people. Because they considered him a prophet. Afraid of the people. Afraid of the people. Matthew 21:26. So Herod was not going to do something because he was afraid of the people. It was influencing him to not do something. Matthew 21:26. This Jesus questioned them because they were trying to question him, and he discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people. I wouldn't say afraid of the people. Because they all held that John was a prophet. So in a similar way, as Herod was afraid of the people because the people held that John was a prophet, so the religious leaders also were afraid of the people because they held that John was a prophet. Verse 46 of the same chapter. They were looking for a way to arrest him. That's Jesus. The Pharisees are going to arrest him. But they were afraid of the crowd. Everyone say afraid of the crowd. Because the people held that he was a prophet. So they were afraid of the people. Afraid of people. That peoples had a more powerful influence. Now, going over to Mark chapter 11, next book. Verse 18. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. They feared him. The reason they feared him here was because Jesus is drawing people away to him, so that what they were really fearing is losing the people. And they couldn't figure out a way to kill him because the fear had a control over them, right? These are all different ways fear can control people. Verse 32. Again, the same was the other. But if we say from men, they feared the people, for everyone held that John was really a prophet. Feared the people. Mark 12, verse 12. They had to look for a way to arrest him. Because they knew they had spoken the parable against them, but they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. So the people had an influence on them. Luke chapter 1, your next book. We're going somewhere with this. I'm going to make a point with this here. Luke chapter 1, verse 50. God's mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. So all these other people are being influenced by fear on one level, but what the fear that we should have, the only fear that we should really have is of God. Because His mercy doesn't extend to everyone. A lot of people are preaching forgiveness, but they're not preaching repentance. At the end of Luke, he said Jesus explained to them that repentance and forgiveness would be preached in His name. What a lot of people are saying, Jesus will forgive you, Jesus will forgive you, but they don't tell the people that if you don't repent and come to Him for forgiveness, He can't save you. It takes both. Amen. Most churches today are preaching repentance, or they're preaching forgiveness. They're not preaching repentance. I got the postcard in the mail from another church that talks all about His forgiveness. It's just giving people false hope, because if they read that and go, oh, well, Jesus forgave me, they go about their business living in sin, they end up in hell at the end of their life because they've been deceived. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Right here He says His mercy extends to those who fear Him. So we need to, God is the one we should fear. Let's see this fear of God one more time in Luke chapter 12. We're not to fear men, we're to fear God. Luke 12 verse 4, I tell you my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more, but I will tell you whom you should fear. So He says, don't be afraid of men is what He's saying. Men are the ones that can kill the body, but they can't do anything beyond that. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me? Amen. Men can't go down to hell and torture you there. They can't do that. Can't do it. They may try to scare you, but they can't do it. He says, but I will tell you whom you should fear. So there is someone, a person that we should fear. He says, fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So God is the one we should fear, and the fear of the Lord is pure. The fear of God will lead us down the right path, and it will keep us from doing wrong things. His commandments, if we fear His commandments and tremble at His word like David said, then we'll have no problem living a holy life. But if you don't fear God, then you will most likely live in sin. You need to recognize He sees every secret thing, the Bible says. Every hidden thing, every secret thing. Luke chapter 20, verse 19. The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken the parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. So again, we see people are being influenced by fear. Influenced by fear. They're afraid of what other people think, right? Go on to chapter 22, verse 2. So we can see there's a comparison here in these scriptures. We can fear God or we can fear people. Do you agree with me? 22 verse 2. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. So people can have a powerful influence on other people if you're more concerned about what they think, right? They were afraid of what the people thought. They had to come up with a conniving way to kill Jesus because they wanted to do what was wrong, but they didn't want to lose the people. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Go to chapter 9, verse 22 of John. John chapter 9, 22. Let's see this here. Now this is a blind man. Jesus opened the eyes of the man who was born blind. His parents said, now what had happened here is they said to ask him, and he can speak for himself. They didn't want to just say that Jesus had opened the eyes of the blind man because they would get kicked. The religious leaders said, if anybody acknowledges that Jesus is Christ, we're going to kick you out of the synagogue. And the synagogue was their lifeline. It was their retirement. It was everything to them. It was their safe place. The synagogue was their connection to the people. So because of this, they said, look, what they did is they tricked the parents. They led the parents and said, yeah, you got a son that's born blind. Oh, yeah, we got a son that's born blind. Oh, yeah, how old is he? Oh, sure, yeah. He says, so, okay, great. And they say, okay, here's your son, and his eyes are open now. Why can he see? They tricked him. They said, why? How is it that he can now see? They said, we know he's our son. We know he's born blind. How he can see, we don't know. Even though they most likely knew that it was Jesus. So because they're more influenced by the people, look at how they respond. He says this, verse 22, his parents said this. And what they said is he can speak for himself. They said this because they were afraid of the Jews, the religious leaders. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus is Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents had said, he's of age, ask him. So they're afraid of the people. The people had a more powerful influence on them than God. They're more concerned of what people thought than what God thought. And this is where we're headed with this. Now in Acts 10:35, it says that God, he's for those who fear him and do what is right. We need to fear God and do what is right. Fear God and do what is right. We're going back and forth between this for a reason. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Let's see why people don't act right. I'll explain this to you. We worship you, Lord. Let me read this to you. There, Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands, no one who seeks God. This is another, what he's saying here is all Jews and Gentiles, all humanity's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God is what he's talking about. He's not talking after you're born again here. He says, there's no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Let's talk about the things they say. Now, if this is you and you call yourself a Christian, we need to make adjustments. Because your throat should no longer be an open grave. He says, there, the unbeliever, their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark the ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, in the book of Numbers alone, there was a whole bunch of plagues that came on the people. And almost every single one of them, except for one, was because of the words they spoke. We need to be careful with our words. And the reason people don't control their tongue and they do all sorts of wicked things and they gossip and they slander and they go on Facebook and say, oh, you know, the Bible says words are many, sin is not absent. Where words are many. The Bible says Ecclesiastes 5:2, God is in heaven, you're on earth, let your words be few. Most people are talking when they should be reading their Bibles. Amen. Most of the things, if you're just getting new to the things of the Lord, even now, I can guarantee you a lot of the things you say are sinful and God despises it. And God will start revealing that to you. The closer you get to Him, you're going to go, man, I really shouldn't be saying that kind of stuff. But if you already know it and you just go on doing it, then you're searing your conscience and God's not walking with you. So we need to get it right. And he says the reason that we do this is because there's no fear of God. If we have the fear of God, instead of just walking around acting like God's going to cover all my gossip and slander and all the bad things I say, if we'd rather just fear God and tremble at His Word, you wouldn't do any of those things if you fear God. Say, I fear God, but you do those things, I don't believe you. You're lying. The Bible says the man who says, I know him but doesn't do what he commands, a liar. 1 John 2:4. So I didn't even have to call you a liar. God already said it. Now, so the reason people don't act right, you could say, the reason people are full of sin and full of deceit and evil. Now I gotta clarify this because my idea of evil may not be your idea of evil. My idea of evil is having Disney movies in your house. It's evil. It's full of witchcraft. God despises us. Deuteronomy 7:26, He says, neither should you bring an abomination. God calls those things abominations. Neither should you bring an abomination to your house, lest you become a cursed thing like it. You're going to be cursed, He says. He said, but you should utterly detest it and utterly abhor it. For it is a cursed thing. In other words, you should hate it. The Bible says to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Romans 16:19. It also says to hate what is good and to cling to what is evil. We need to hate what God hates. You know what the fear of God is? The fear of God is to hate what God hates and to love what God loves. God doesn't hate everything. God loves everybody. Forget about it. God hates divorce. The Bible talks about all sorts of things that He hates. And one thing God really hates is sin. He hates sin. And when you get really close to God, you will start to hate sin also, if you really get close to God. And if you don't believe me, after 80 years of ministry, just read the first book of 1 John. The man hated sin. Just about, I would say there's probably dozens of scriptures in that short 5 chapters that talks about anybody who has any kind of sin in their life, forget it. You've got no relationship with Jesus. That's how the Holy Spirit worked through John. Why? Because he had a vessel that was so pure. You know, they tried to boil John in oil and he didn't die. Jesus predicted it would happen. He said, if I want that man to remain alive till I come, what is it to you? He said to Peter. They tried to kill him. There's multiple accounts. People said they tried to kill John. They couldn't kill him. So they finally banished him to the Isle of Patmos where you see the book of Revelation. He's a holy man of God. Second Corinthians 5, we're going somewhere with this. Are you ready for this? I gotta get ready here. 2 Corinthians, make sure you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's two of them. 2 Corinthians. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Since we know what it is to what? Fear the Lord. So since we know what it is to fear the Lord, there's some results to the fear of the Lord. We know that the result of fearing the Lord would be controlling our tongue from Romans chapter 3, right? We know if we fear God, we won't act that. We won't act with immoral conduct. We will have pure conduct in everything we do. We will judge. We will, like Paul said, he said, I believe there's going to be a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. Therefore, I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man, he said. That means every second of every day, every judgment, every decision he makes, he would make sure that it was a holy and pure action. If it wasn't, he would get it straight with God right away. David was quick to repent. If you fear God, you're quick to repent. You don't walk around and go, it's not that big a deal. No, you say, Father, forgive me. It's darkness. I don't want to do it again. That's quick to repent. None of the same. Get in an argument with someone and walk away as if you did nothing. We can't be fighting with people. We need to love people. He says this in verse 11, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, to fear the Lord, to fear the Lord. Let's go back to verse 10 so you can see what he's talking about. Are you ready? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But wait, it started in verse 9. So let's put it all together now. We make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. So their goal is to please God. For why? Why do we want to please God? Because, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's you, that's me, that's everyone. That each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. Why do we fear the Lord? Because we have to face a judgment. What kind of judgment can we have if we live to please God? Like he said in the first verse we went over, verse 9. If we live to please God, then he will reward us for whatever good we've done in the body. Good. But if we don't fear God and we live like Romans 3:10 on through described, throats are open, graves, saying all sorts of things and doing things you shouldn't do. Poison of vipers is on your lips. He says this. Then you're going to receive, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of God for things done bad. You say, someone will say, well, Pastor Dan, you got to think about this now. What you're talking about, you don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Dan, because I'm telling you right now, anybody born again, if they're in Christ, they're only going to be judged according to the good works. That's not true. What you're going to be judged by is the streamlined plan of God for your individual life. He will pick you up and show you all of the things that He had planned for you to do. And He's going to line up what you did with what He had planned for you to do. And you're going to be judged based on that. If you are born again and you're in Christ, then He's going to wash away by the blood of Jesus all of your failings, because Jesus has borne your failure. You will get in. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says you'll be just as one escaping through the flames. That's what I would tell you in this generation. Most Christians are going to be just as one escaping through the flames. They walk on the gates of hell like this. And they say, I'm okay. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. But the devil blows on them hard enough, they're ready to fall into hell. They didn't do anything for God. They're not fulfilling their ministry. God is not pleased with their behavior, but He is still hoping that they can still get in because He loves them. Amen. Anybody that wants to have a relationship with their father like that, they're messed up. That's just messed up to think that's okay, to not do what God wants you to do. And oh, it's okay, I still get heaven. How selfish could you be to have that attitude? I'm still okay, I still get heaven. Forget about it. Why would you even want to go there if you couldn't please God in every way? So if we do what is right and we fear God, and He's going to tell you what He's talking about, we're going somewhere with this, then He's going to reward you forever. He's going to take that plan and line you up and say, you did every single thing that I've called you to do. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have pleased me. You brought me glory. Like Jesus said, I've brought you glory on earth by completing what you've called me to do, Jesus said. John chapter 17. That's how you can bring God glory on the earth, by completing what He's called you to do. You mean I'm called? Every single Christian is called to do something for Jesus. Whether it be within your local church, to serve within your local church, or to grow beyond that and become a preacher or whatever it is. But we're all called to do something specific, and that's what He's bringing us towards here. Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God. I hope that it is also plain to your conscience. Now, look at this in verse 11. Since we know what it is to fear God, we try to persuade men. Try to persuade men. Men, what? To be saved. So if you fear God, you'll step out of your comfort zone and you will try to influence people to live for Jesus. Well, I'm too scared to talk to people in public. Start writing letters without your name on them and sending them out. There will be, when people stand before God, there will be no excuse for anybody who's ever gone to this church. I have said it before. I've said it many, many, many times. If you're afraid and you don't have the time, or you claim you don't have the time to write out letters, I will do them for you. Give me the addresses and give me some stamps. I sent this out online. We've only had 2 people so far. Out of possibly thousands of people, 2 people have given stamps. 2 people. That's how selfish Christians are in this generation. Selfish. Selfish. Shame on them. I'm telling them, I will write the letters for you. I will mail them out. They won't even have your name on them. I'll send them to your family. And they won't even do that. It's almost like me saying, I'll go witness to your family for you. Say, no, I want them to go to hell. That's what it is. That's how selfish Christians can be. I'm telling you, if you never heard this before, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the rest of them. If you want your family saved, Pastor Dan will get your family saved. Give me their address. Give me their phone number. I'll never even mention your name. They won't even know that you exist. I will go and get them saved. God will do it through me. I'm confident that I will get them saved. And if I can't, I will plant enough seed in them that the next person that comes and waters it, and then God will come in and bring the increase. It will happen. Convinced of it. We all work together. One plants, another waters, God gives the increase. I will at least be able to plant seeds in them, whether through an address, if they're in the hospital. Just tell me what it is. I'll do it. And I've said this before, and nothing. Man. Oh, this generation, Lord. It's just, my spiritual mind just can barely even comprehend how selfish people have come in this generation. It is so detestable. I can't wait to get out of this planet. I just can't wait till Jesus comes. I don't like it here anymore. But I'd like to stay here and get people saved. I've thought, Lord, come, but then I say, no. There's still some people left, we can reach them. So since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. If you fear God, you will try to persuade men. And say, I'm scared. Well, people should have no influence on you. The only person that should have any influence on you is Jesus. You should fear Him and not fear men. The fear of men can control and consume. And there's ways that we can get fear free from fear. We'll talk about that. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse. You can just stay there. I'll quote it to you. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalms 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Some would say, I got all sorts of wisdom, all sorts of knowledge. But if you don't fear the Lord, you got nothing. You got nothing at all. But I will conclude with this. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this verse sums up the whole Bible. If you want to know what you need to do, it sums it all up right here for you. He says, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. The last verse, this is Solomon, after he had backslidden, coming to a point of repentance. He says this, now that all has been heard, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is a whole duty of man. That's it. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's it. That's a conclusion. He's concluding the whole entire Bible for you. Fear God and keep His commandments. You can go home right now. That's it. That's all we got to do. Sounds really easy, right? Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God, and He tells you why to do it. God, and this lines up with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what we talked about. He says, God will bring every deed or every work into judgment, including every hidden thing. Whether it is good or evil. See, Pastor Dan, you're right. I feel a little selfish because I'm more controlled, but I'm more concerned, and we're not done with this, but we have to stop tonight. I'm more concerned what other people think. I can tell you the main reason I didn't want to publicly or openly confess that I was a Christian and went to a church where the gifts of the Spirit were, the main reason was because I was more concerned of what other people thought of me than God. I was more concerned of what other people thought of me than God. But the apostles weren't. They said, we need to obey God rather than men. We need to obey God rather than... They kept telling them, stop speaking in the name of Jesus. They said, we got to obey God rather than men. Judge for yourselves if it's right in the eyes of God to obey you rather than God. So there's a powerful fear. The reason fear is such a powerful influence is because that's of Satan's kingdom, and that's the kingdom that you're coming out of. You came out of that kingdom. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's translated us out of darkness into light. And because we're coming out of this, your spirit gets born again. He lights your candle, but your soul realm still has all the bondages connected to it. Some of you may got free from, but a lot of that stuff tries to linger. But let me tell you something. You are already free of them, but you need to enforce that freedom. Jesus has already paid the price for you to be free. And the way you enforce that freedom is by praying in tongues, meditating His Word, and it is a process. It's called the transformation process. God knows the bargain. He got you saved, and He knew that you were all messed up anyhow. But we don't have to stay that way. And if you get about the work of the Lord right away, you'll be so focused on working for the Lord that none of those things will be able to control you. But because most people are so bound up and they let the devil convince them that they're bound up when Jesus says that you're free, He's given you praying in tongues. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That means that word helpeth is four Greek words, soon anti lambano mahi. That's four Greek words that mean take hold together against with our infirmities. That's the inability to produce results because of the limitations imposed on us by the flesh. What results does He want me to produce? He wants you to fear God and to try to persuade men. That's one of the results He wants you to produce. That's a righteous act. He wants you to produce righteous acts. He wants you to produce the fruit of righteousness. If you're a tree, He wants you bearing fruit. Jesus said, anyone who bears fruit, He prunes. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps you with your infirmities. He prunes off those dead limbs that are holding you bound and hindering you from doing what God's called you to do, fulfilling your ministry. You mean I have a ministry? Every Christian has their own ministry. You mean I'm a minister? You're a minister. Every Christian is a minister. It's a servant. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20:26-28. He said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Luke 14:11. The Bible says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:6-7. And Peter said, humble yourselves under... He said, God upholds the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. He said, be self-controlled. Too close to change over here to talk anymore. He says that, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Just come on up. He says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Everybody come up here. He said, this freedom that I've set you for liberty for is free. But you must enforce your freedom by using the name that I've given unto thee. For the name that is above every name, every knee must bow, including all fear. So reverence my name, and let my word be at the forefront of your spirit. Let my word be the only thing that you're willing to hear. For my word is a strong tower to hold you in the freedom that I've given unto you. So continue to press in and know that you're not alone. Know that you don't walk this path on your own. Know that I'm with you, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus.